We are here at the Boulder Bookstore to take a look back at the last 12 months in books and to look ahead as well and to offer some guides for folks who might want to buy books for people in their lives. I'm Maeve Conran and my co-host of the Radio Book Club, Arsene Kashkashian, is here at the Boulder Bookstore. It's great to be here. I love doing these shows surrounded by books.
Yeah, well, it's a great place to be if you want to be surrounded by books, because we have a lot of books and it's a great time of year. The store is packed with books and people are out here shopping for the holidays. So, yeah, it's a great place to be and a great time to be here.
Well, as we take a look back at 2025, what were some of the biggest sellers that you found were most popular here at the Boulder Bookstore?
Well, I think, you know, one of the best things this year was Stephen Graham Jones really burst through with Buffalo Hunter Hunter. You know, he's a local author and we've always sold him well. We've had him on the radio show like six times or something. I don't know how many times. And this was a truly spectacular book. And we've sold now close to 500 copies, which is a lot for us. We've probably sold, normally we might sell 100 to 200 of his books. So it was really fun to see him break out in a big way.
That was an event that we did for the Radio Book Club live at the Boulder Public Library. And that's a big auditorium and it was packed and people really responded to that. That was one of my favorite books of the year as well. We have it here, a gorgeous cover, a painting of a buffalo. But really, I felt a departure for Stephen Graham Jones. It was historical, said, you know, about 100 years ago. Actually, there were a few different time periods in there, but compared to some of his other books, I just felt this was at another level. And I've enjoyed all of Stephen Graham Jones's work in the past.
Yeah, I think he pulled together a lot of things that he does. You know, you kind of had vampires. You had Native American history, kind of a revenge plot on trying to not really right a wrong, but to get some revenge for a terrible thing that happened to Native Americans in the 1800s. And that kind of resonates with what he does with his graphic novels. Those are historic and going back and revisiting Columbus coming to America. And so it tied together these different things. I thought his writing was spectacular in the book. It moved. It was interesting. It was an interesting vampire story, but it was also a very interesting historical novel. It was really done well, and people seemed to be really enjoying it. I'm very excited for him.
Well, people can listen back to that podcast episode if you're a subscriber to the Radio Book Club podcast. Now, another book that's certainly at the top of my list for best books that I've read this year was also another book club pick, and it's Martyr by Kaveh Akbar.
Yeah, we read Martyr for the January book club, I think. And as soon as I put it down, I said, I wonder if that's going to be the best book I read all year here in the second week of the year. And I've read some other ones that certainly compete with it, but it's a great book. It tells a story of a young man who's come over from Iran and his mother's missing. He's very much in a bad state and it involves art. He goes to see this artist that's kind of doing this performance piece in New York. And it just ties together so many threads. It's so clever. The language is so good. Akbar is very well known as a poet. And I would, you know, the book is poetic in its language. It's not really poetic in its structure in any way, but you can tell that he really knows his way around words.
Yeah, I have recommended that book to so many people and have gotten resounding positive feedback. So that's Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. Now, what other books have you found to be popular this year here amongst readers in Boulder?
Well, right now, the big book that's really separated itself during the holiday season is The Correspondent by Virginia Evans. And this is a epistolary novel. It's based on letters, and the main character is an older woman who sends out letters to different people. Some people she knows, other people they're complaint letters to a company that's done her wrong. They might be to politicians or celebrities. But there is one person that she writes letters to, but she doesn't send them. And this book, people are just buying this like crazy. You know, it's kind of like the Shelby Van Pelt, Remarkably Bright Creatures last year, where it just took off and everybody seems to be reading it. And that's what's going on with The Correspondent. And people are really enjoying it. I think part of the appeal is the letter writing, you know, that you just don't see that in our world as much or nearly as much as you used to. And I think they find it's an interesting way to tell the story.
Now, you have another book here by a very well-known author, Ian McEwan's What We Can Know. So tell us about this one.
Well, I think this might be his best. I haven't read every single novel he's written since The Atonement, but I've read most of them, and I think this might be the best one. And it's kind of this literary mystery novel. It's the main part of it's set in the future, and it's a future where in England, where he's really writing from, has been ravaged by climate change. England is many islands now because the low-lying areas are not there anymore. And it's also the government has broken down. But the main story is about a scholar, an academic, and he is writing about an event that took place like around 2015. And it was a party where this poet, very famous poet, somebody who's like Seamus Heaney. And so the poet wrote a birthday poem for his wife, and he presented it at this party. And everybody who was at the party, it's kind of a now legendary thing. It's talked about like you would talk about Byron and Shelley and Keats getting together. But the wife chose to never publish the poem. And after she died and he died, it was never found. So it only exists in legend. And then the last third of the book, you get a first-person account from somebody at that party about what really happened. So the first part of the book is really this interesting kind of trying to piece it together. And then the second part is the first-hand account. And it's really fun to see how they differ. And, of course, how the world changes. He doesn't knock you over the head with the climate change stuff and the world changing. It's there. And it's just the fact of life for the person writing 70, 80 years from now. But all those seeds for that are kind of in the earlier narrative that you get as well.
Well, now, all of the books that we have talked about just now are fiction. What are nonfiction readers excited about, and what have you seen been really popular this year?
Well, we're really selling 1929 by Andrew Ross Sorkin. He wrote Too Big to Fail, which was about the 2008 crisis. And this new book is about 1929. And I think people are hearing echoes maybe of the world we live in today, back in the stories of 1929, the inequality, the rising stock market, the political situation. So I think that's been a kind of surprise hit. It's not what I would have picked to be the December best-selling nonfiction book. I thought it'd be a big book, but I mean, I don't really want that under my Christmas tree, but I guess there's a lot of people who do. So that's really selling well. And then we're selling a book called Marriage at Sea. And this is a book about a husband and wife who are on a boat, and they're kind of stranded on this boat for a long time out at sea, and how they survive and what their marriage is like. And the New York Times named it as one of the top 10 books. And of the top 10 books, that seems to be the one that's capturing people's imagination the most.
So one of the great things about the Boulder Bookstore is that there are booksellers here who will recommend what they want to read. And we're going to hear from some in the show. But if somebody walks in, and I'd imagine this happens frequently, and says, I need to buy a gift, and I have no idea where to go. I mean, what kind of questions do you ask, and what kind of books do you direct them towards?
Well, usually you ask them, if it's for you, what kind of books do you read and like? And if it's for, you're giving the book to somebody, well, what do they read and like? And often this time of year, they say, I really have no idea. It's my husband's aunt, you know? And so then we direct them to the recommended cases. And there's like four cases, you know, and each case maybe has 70 books on it that are recommended by our booksellers. And there's all sorts of books, nonfiction, fiction, all sorts of genres of fiction. And it's just a great resource. There's big presses, there's small presses, there's books that are fairly well known, there's books that you might not see faced out in any other bookstore in the country besides ours. And people can really find something in those cases.
Overall, how is the book business going? I mean, of course, we have the huge giant Amazon that really impacted booksellers. But as well as that, are people actually reading physical books anymore? I mean, how are you seeing just the industry overall?
Well, you know, it's our corner of the industry as an independent bookstore. But it's been great. This has been a great year for us. Since the pandemic, we've seen our readership get younger. People are really into a lot of the younger readers, 20s and 30s somethings, are really into horror or romance or fantasy or romanticy. And it's really brought a lot of young readers in, and they're voracious readers. And so I can't say like what percentage of 30-year-olds read all the time, but I know the ones who do read, they buy stacks of books and they really enjoy them. And so it's been great. They seem to want physical books. We do sell books on our website. You know, you can get audiobooks or you can get ebooks. But I think for the most part, people want physical books. And I do think audio has picked up quite a bit too.
Well, we're going to hear about what's popular amongst the youngest readers. We'll be checking in with the children's book section in just a little bit. But later in the show, Arsene will be back and we're going to have a preview of what's ahead in early 2026 for the Radio Book Club. But in the meantime, Arsene Kashkashian, thanks for joining me here at the bookstore.
Yeah, it's great having you here, Maeve.
Hi, I am Barry Kenyon. I'm the children's book buyer at Boulder Bookstore.
Barry, what has been popular amongst the youngest readers in the past year? What are you kind of seeing in terms of trends or specific books that people are really excited about for the very, very young readers?
Yeah. This year has been big for the series. We've had a lot of a continuation of books in the series. So in the middle grade space, we have the newest Wings of Fire graphic novel, Darkwing, which is huge. There's another Diary of the Wimpy Kid. It's book 20. And of course, the newest Dogman book, which we did an event for last week, which was amazing. But those are what people are really excited about. They want that next book. I've seen that as well with some of the earlier readers. There's Dragon Masters. Dragons in general are a big deal in the early reader space.
Well, in terms of picture books, for the even pre-readers, you've got a little selection here. So these are holiday themed.
Yes. I wanted to talk about this holiday book, The 13th Day of Christmas. Every season, I like to find the newest holiday fun read. And this is telling the story of the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas Carol, in a wacky way. It's Adam Rex, who's very popular in the picture book world. He's very funny. And this is about a guy who is getting every single one of the 12 days of Christmas gifts. And it gets overwhelming. And he's really mad about it at first, but he unexpectedly finds that it brings cheer and that, you know, you can look a gift horse in the mouth sort of thing.
It's got some great illustrations. We have the geese a-laying, the partridge in the pear tree, and some drummers and some dancers leaping or whatever they're doing there.
It's just, it follows the whole town as he is being followed around by every single gift that he gets.
Okay, well, we have another one there and it's called Flora and the Jazzers.
Yes, I wanted to highlight this one because it's the new Cinderella story that came out this year. It has amazing illustrations. My favorite part is the animals in all the different outfits. Flora works in a grand hotel, but she's the scullery maid. She's not really supposed to hang out with the well-to-do that visit the hotel. But her biggest dream is to go to a concert. And there's a chance for her to help sing when this band comes to visit the hotel. And her little flapper outfit, she's a ferret, by the way. She's a ferret and she's adorable. And this is good for all the families who say that their kids are ready for a slightly longer story for bedtime, but not too long. It's a great read aloud.
And so what do you recommend if folks walk into the children's section and say, I've got a young person, a baby potentially, a toddler, a young person? I mean, how do you start to direct them towards these books?
Yeah. Well, babies and toddlers are the most fun to shop for because you can kind of go all over the place. But I do tend to direct to the interactive books, touch and feel, lift the flap, things that they are going to get their little hands on, that tends to grab their attention.
We have another book there on your lap. Now, this is for slightly older readers. Yes. Would this be more middle school?
Yeah, this is a middle school read. It's called Scarlet Morning. It's by N.D. Stevenson, who is best known for his graphic novel Nimona, which just had its 10th anniversary. They made a Netflix movie out of that one. But this, again, it's a great family read aloud. It would be a great gift for any voracious reader, but specifically for families that want to read together, because it's a pirate story and it's rollicking fun that's set in a future where the weather has changed and the sea has changed. It's actually kind of toxic. You don't want to touch the water. And these two kids have been waiting for their parents to return on this boring gray island for 15 years. And one day a captain who says she's not a pirate, but we have our doubts. She comes to their house and they decide to leave with her and go on an adventure trying to figure out their place in the world. And it's amazing. One of the best things is N.D. Stevenson actually wrote this, started writing this when he was a teenager. And when the pandemic happened, kind of rediscovered it and fixed it up. And it's now a two-part series because as a teenager, it was 600 pages. So they decided to make it two books. And it's one of my favorite reads of the last few years.
Now, parents, teachers, society in general seems to be in a bit of a panic about whether kids are reading or not. So from your perspective here at the Boulder Bookstore, are kids reading these days?
Boulder specifically, we don't have a problem, at least not from what I've seen. Middle grade is my best section. It sells better than my teen books. Those are the kids that they find their niche and they're just happy to keep reading. So here, no, I have heard from other booksellers that they are struggling, but we're working on it.
So if somebody's listening now and there's a young person in their life and they're interested in a book as a book is always a fabulous gift. Pop in, talk to a bookseller or, you know, check out maybe some of the series books.
Yes. Definitely some of the series. And just like the adult section, we do have recommended shelves. We have recommended shelves in each room of the bookstore. But that's always good because they're newer releases generally and recommended by staff. So if you're really unsure, those little recommended tags can help you out.
Barry Kenyon with the Boulder Bookstore. Thank you so much for joining me.
My name is Stephanie Schindhelm, and I am the event coordinator here at Boulder Bookstore, so I set up all of our author events.
There have been many author events over the past year. I've attended many as a reader and also participated in some of them as part of the book club. Are people wanting to come out and see authors? Is this now still a popular thing for people to do in the community?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think people still really appreciate getting out and having a real out in the world experience. And I mean, what's better than meeting your favorite author and getting them to sign your book? So.
And are authors actually doing book tours in the same way that maybe they did pre-COVID?
I think in different ways. I think a lot of the bigger authors are going on smaller tours, but the tours are definitely still happening. And I think we've seen a lot of really positive interaction with a lot of our local authors. I mean, we're so fortunate in the Front Range to have so many amazing writers that live here that it's, I mean, our event schedule has been booked out farther than we've ever had it booked out before. Like, it's usually like half a year at this point. It used to be like 2 or 3 months. So we're certainly still seeing authors.
Well, I know you're busy with all those events, but you're never too busy to read. And I know you've got a couple of favorite books with you. So what have you selected? What have you enjoyed reading this year?
So my first selection is from Mary Roach, who is one of my favorite authors of all time, probably my favorite nonfiction author. And I've read everything she's written. And her newest book is called Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy. And I feel like this is, you know, I feel like Mary Roach is really in her wheelhouse when she's doing research and talking about the body. Because she just is fascinated. I mean, she's fascinated by everything, but particularly things that have to do with the body, I think, because we all have a body and all bodies are weird. So for this book, she's sort of her center of research and discussion is about how over the centuries and currently people work to replace certain parts of their bodies with, you know, sometimes it's been for cosmetic stuff, but obviously for a lot of it, it's been, you know, like dueling and people would cut off each other's noses. And so all the weird things they do to like try to like cover up the nose and then on, I mean, obviously more like internal organs. So there's like a whole part where she goes to China to see how they're doing research into trying to grow pigs that have like humanoid sorts of organs, because that can be a really great way to get transplants. And so she's just so funny and she's very down to earth. She's a very like sort of common person going into these very high tech, very high tech places and talking to very smart people about really interesting stuff, but kind of breaking it down so that the average person can understand it. Like, you don't need to have any sort of a degree to understand the things that she's, you know, bringing here. So I just love her work, and I think this is great.
Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy by Mary Roach, one of Stephanie's favorite picks this year. What's the other one you have?
So my other book here is, well, it's still funny, but a little bit different. It's a comic collection called You, It's Beautiful, by Joshua Barkman. And Joshua Barkman does these. He loves nature and animals and birds in particular. So I feel like a lot of people have seen his comics online or in memes because they're just birds being weird and birds posing weird existential questions, but in funny ways. And it's, I mean, you just have to look at some of this art. It's beautiful art, but it's also just ridiculous, like the conversations that these birds get into. Like, there's an illustration of a pigeon finding a bottle of beer and sniffing it and then saying, I'm gonna go fight a dog. Like, it's just, and there's another one of a raven trying to make a snowman, and at the end it's just, oh, it's terrible. it's just very quirky and weird, and I feel like there's a lot of bird lovers in our area, so I think if you love birds, you will find this very entertaining.
Well, I think we all need a bit more quirky and weird in our lives these days.
I agree.
Well, Stephanie, it's great to check in with you. Any big events happening on the calendar of the Boulder Bookstore in 2026, or maybe you can't reveal them yet?
Well, I think the next big exciting thing we've got is on January 15th, we're going to be over at the Boulder Library doing a live recording of the KGNU show with Ewan Arson and Peter Heller for his new book, The Orchard. So I think that's very exciting.
We're going to hear more about that. We'll have a preview of what's ahead next year with the Radio Book Club with Arson later in the show. But in the meantime, Stephanie, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My name is Julia Atwood, and I am the Marketing and Promotions Assistant here at the Boulder Bookstore.
Well, it's great to have you join us here. And you have a book in your hand that actually has been on my radar as a must read. It's been recommended by several people I know. What is this book that you have read this year that you really like?
This is The Hounding by Zenobi Purvis. This is a debut novel. It's a short little novel, but packs a real punch. We actually read this for our staff book club this year, and it was a great book for a book club because there was a lot to talk about. Everyone pretty much liked the book, but there were lots of questions left after we finished reading that were great to have a conversation about.
Well, not to give too much away, mm-hmm. but the setting is, it's in England, it's in an English town in, what, the 1850s or something?
It's never really specified, but in the 1800s. And you get perspectives of a lot of the members of this small town. It takes place during a drought. And so there's a lot of tension going on and a lot of troubles going on in the town. And there are there's a family with five daughters, and there rumors start to spring up that these five girls are starting to turn into dogs and turn into dogs at night. And you never actually get the perspective of the girls, which is part of what's interesting about the story. You only hear what other people are saying about them. So it's about the power of rumor and hearsay and the tensions that are happening in this town and about what it's like to be a young woman that breaks convention. There are comparisons to the Virgin Suicides and the Crucible that people make. And I think those are apt, but it's really beautifully written and I really, really enjoyed it.
Who would you recommend this book to?
I think anyone who likes a book that leaves you with some questions, literary fiction readers, historical fiction readers, and even people who like something a little bit scarier. It's not a horror novel by any means, but there are, you know, all the tensions and there is a lot of suspense going on. So really a wide range of people, I think, would really enjoy this.
Any other books that you loved this year?
I'm a really big fan of the author Mona Awad, and she came out with a new book this year called We Love You, Bunny, which is a sequel to her previous book, Bunny. And I really enjoyed it. It was quite the ride. So if you're a fan of Mona Awad and read Bunny, I really highly recommend that one.
I think you're a horror fan.
I am
as
a
well.
Horror fan, yes. Yeah. In the horror vein, I think my favorite book this year was The Staircase in the Woods by Chuck Wendig. That was a really great one. We actually have posts on our YouTube channel if you want to look for that, where I talk about that. But it's basically the plot for that one is a group of kids go into the woods and they find a staircase that leads to nothing. And one of them goes to the top of the staircase and disappears. And then years later, the friends go back to the woods, find another staircase, and they all climb to the top of the staircase to look for this friend. And lots of things happen from there.
The magical faraway tree meets Stephen King, yes. Or something like that.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank and you. It's great to chat with you, Julia.
Good to chat with you too. Thank you very much for having me.
My name is Clement DeHoe. I'm the assistant buyer here at the Boulder Bookstore.
What is the book that you have there in your hand that you're recommending to listeners right now?
So I'm recommending something I just read, There Is No Anti-Mimetics Division by Quantum. That's Q-N-T-M, mononym for the author name. I found this a really exciting little sci-fi thriller novel. Yeah, the core concept here is there's this division that fights these anti-mimetic entities that kind of erase your memories after you've interacted with them, which makes for some really compelling... You know, a lot of this book is little case studies of an agent on the field interacting with one of these things. And as they're kind of coming up against the entity, you know, they're forgetting about why they're there. They're forgetting why they're alone. It creates this kind of thrilling horror adjacent, but a really propulsive narrative about, yeah, how do you fight these things that you can't remember interacting with?
And is this something that... folks who aren't always, you know, interested in sci-fi, you think would be interested in, or is this for some hardcore science fiction fans?
I think this kind of spreads across all enthusiasts. I think if you like sci-fi, you're definitely going to lean into this. I don't read a lot of sci-fi personally, and I think this avoids some of the pitfalls that can keep people away. You know, it's not excessively wordy. There's not a lot of proper nouns. There's a few new terms because it's really playing with, you know, the concept of amnesia, or in this book, it's called mnesia without the A, because you're trying to remember rather than you're forgetting. And I thought that was really fun. So that's almost linguistic. But I think if you have any passing interest in horror, sci-fi, or something thriller, mystery adjacent, it really encapsulates all that just with this sci-fi mysterious entity thing kind of floating over the whole topic.
Well, I love the cover of it as well. And the font is very sci-fi. It's a beautiful looking cover as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice package. And this person's well known for writing some oddball sci-fi, really taking an odd idea and pushing it very far. And, you know, the book is also filled with lots of formatting and blacked out text and symbols. And I think that really adds to the narrative. I had a real... yeah, fun time just kind of flipping through the pages as I was reading it.
Well, an interesting read. There Is No Anti-Mimetics Division. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stacy Silverstein Apple, and I'm a bookseller here at the Boulder Bookstore.
Well, Stacy, you are holding in your hand a book by, I have to say, I think my favorite author.
Yes, this book is called A Long Winter, and it's by one of my favorite authors, and his name is Colm Tobin. He's an Irish author, and you probably have heard of him because of his famous book, and I think they turned it into a movie or a series, Brooklyn, and then the follow-up to that was Long Island, also two great books.
Well, what is A Long Winter about? Because it looks almost like a novella. It's a smaller book. It's a beautiful little package. But tell us about A Long Winter.
Yes, it is a novella and it packs a punch in a small book. And I feel like at this time of year, when people are busy and they're shopping for others and they've got a lot going on, a novella is absolutely perfect because you can get through it in one or two sittings. And with this one, it will stick with you long after you've read it. It takes place at the foothills of the Spanish Pyrenees Mountains during a long winter, as the title suggests, where the a son and a father are searching for their mother who goes missing. There's a lot of complicated family dynamics. I feel like every sentence in this book is one I wanted to linger over because his prose are just so gorgeous. And the story is complicated, but wraps up in the end in a way that's going to keep you thinking about this book for a long time. At least it did me.
Well, that is A Long Winter by Colm Tobin, and I can't recommend him as a writer enough. I haven't read this yet, so I'm excited to get that and read it too. He's a fabulous writer. And as you were saying, Stacey, having a novella, it's not a huge commitment. It's something you could pick up and finish in a couple of sessions.
Exactly. And if you your readers can't see, or your listeners can't see the cover of this, but if they see this book, it's just beautifully illustrated on the outside, which to me makes it a perfect gift for the readers in your life. And it was one of the reasons that I was first drawn to this book before I even saw who the author was. And then I was like, this is a no-brainer. If your listeners like Claire Keegan's book, which I think a lot of us do, another wonderful writer, this book reminds me a little bit of the pacing of her books, which is really kind of slow the way it unfolds, but so beautiful that you can't wait to read the next page.
Well, that recommendation, A Long Winter by Colm Tobin, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It was great to be with you.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Galvin. I'm the staff manager at the Boulder Bookstore, and I am recommending Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers.
Okay, so this says it's a psalm for the wild built and a prayer for the crown shy. So what is this book about?
So it was originally published as two books with those titles, and now it's in one volume. It's very sweet science fiction about a tea monk who is someone who travels around selling tea and giving advice and philosophy, which takes place in a fictional world. And the philosophy sounds a lot like Zen Buddhism. The tea monk then befriends a robot named Moss Cap, and the story follows their friendship.
Who might you recommend this book for?
I recommend it to everybody. I think it would be great for people who like science fiction but want something different, but also people who have never read science fiction and are interested in easing into it. And that was my situation when I read it, and I love it.
Okay. Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers. Okay, thank you so much for your recommendation.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leah Powers. I'm a bookseller, coordinator, and used book buyer here at the Boulder Bookstore.
Well, you have a book in your hand that I have seen in many bookshelves and certainly here at the Boulder Bookstore, so I know it's been popular. What is it and why did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes. This is Heart the Lover by Lily King. This sort of both continues, it's sort of a prequel and sequel to Writers and Lovers, her other books. What I love about this book is Lily King puts a lot of events on the same plane of importance, intellectual curiosity and romantic love, both, like, all of these make up a life and they're all treated with a lot of tenderness and importance. She deals with youth and heartache, the passing of time. She writes beautifully and vividly, and I just really enjoyed this work.
And has this been popular? Are you seeing this as something that folks coming into the Boulder Bookstore are picking off the shelf?
I would say so, yes. I just read Writers and Lovers recently, right as this came out, so I was excited to pick this one up. And yes, it is selling quite well. I wanted to write a recommendation for it, but since it's selling enough, it's not really needed at the moment. But hopefully in a couple months, I can get it back on the recommended shelves.
So who would you recommend this to? If people like a different kind of writer or a different book, who might you recommend this to?
Good question. You know, actually, when I was reading into this book more, Elena Ferrante came up just in how she treats friendships and what makes up a life and the sort of like vitality of this and of a creative life and what that means. So, yeah, that's another person that came to mind. I love literary fiction in general. So there's a lot of good writers out there right now, similar to Lily King, I'd say.
Well, that's Heart the Lover by Lily King. Thank you so much for your recommendation.
Thank you.
My name is Reagan Gilman, and I'm a bookseller here at the bookstore.
So, Reagan, you are holding in your hands a book that I know you've enjoyed. And so what is it and why did you like it so much?
Yeah, it's called Sunburn by Chloe Michelle Howorth. This is truly one of the most beautiful stories I've ever read, both the story and just the lyrical prose that this author uses. It takes place in the early 90s in Ireland. So think very conservative, very Catholic. It's about two young girls who are good friends, and it develops into something more. And they have to navigate the societal expectations of the time and their own shame and whatnot, and really work through and just have the courage to be who they are, and celebrate themselves for who they are and for who they love. And yeah, it was just so tender, so beautiful.
Well, that's high praise indeed. Now, this is a writer I'm actually not familiar with, albeit I was in Ireland in the 1990s. So how did this come up upon your radar?
That's a great question. I bought this book at my favorite bookstore in Austin called Book People. The cover just really spoke to me. The title is Sunburn, and the cover is a pair of legs that have been sunburned. They're standing on a tree, and it just really caught my eye. And then I read the back and I was like, ooh, for some reason, I've ended up reading a lot of Irish books about queerness in the 90s this year. I don't know how that has happened, but that seems to be the theme of my reading this year. So I figured, why not add another one to the list?
Well, who might you recommend this to if people like other writers that, you know, you might compare this story to or this author to?
That's a great question. I would definitely recommend this to anyone who loves a character-driven story. You just see these two young girls and they grow into women. You see them transform and their characters really develop. Also, anyone who just appreciates the prose of a story. What I really enjoyed about this was how the author takes a lot of the imagery of like the Catholic Church and kind of flips it on its head to describe something that traditionally was described as shameful or sinful into something beautiful and to be celebrated and something very holy. So yeah, if you appreciate a good lyrical prose, this would be the perfect book for you.
And that is Sunburn by Chloe Michelle Howarth. Thank you so much for your recommendation.
Thank you.
Well, Arsen Kashkashian, my co-host for the Radio Book Club, back joining me here. We're here at the Boulder Bookstore. I've had a great chat with many of the booksellers here, got some terrific recommendations. But now I want to look ahead to what's in store for 2026. Well, actually, on Christmas Day, we've got a nice treat for listeners because we'll have the December edition of the Radio Book Club. And that's an author, and it's a book that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it's R.L. Mazes' Complete Fiction. And it's a wonderful book. It's a really kind of fun inside look at the publishing business. It deals with Me Too issues, and it does it all with kind of great style and humor.
So looking ahead into 2026, we've got lots of really exciting activity for the book club. I know in January there's an event that listeners can come out to the Boulder Public Library to see. A great friend of the Boulder Book Club, Peter Heller, is back. Yes. With another new book.
Yeah, he's got a book called The Orchard, and it's a little different kind of book for him. It was originally published as an ebook a couple of years ago, but they're bringing it out as a paperback. And so we're very excited to have Peter. He's great fun. He loves to laugh. We love to laugh. So, you know, what's there not to like?
That's going to be on January 15th in the evening at the Canyon Auditorium of the Boulder Public Library. We'd love listeners to come out and watch and listen to a live taping of the Radio Book Club. And then who are we going to be hearing from for our January author?
Yeah, so we're going to be hearing from Edward Hamlin. Sonata in Wax is his novel. And we had him on for a book of short stories. He's a really smart writer, good writer. I really enjoy his stuff. This is somewhat of a historical novel, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. I think it should be a lot of fun.
And then in March, there's some really exciting events happening here at the Boulder Bookstore.
Yeah, so we're trying, towards the end of February 27th, 28th, and March 1st, we're doing a reading retreat up at Chautauqua. And so that's going to be kind of an immersive experience. And it's going to have a couple different authors there. People who we featured on the show, Ramona Ausubel, Laura Pritchett will be there. The people who attend will be able to do book clubs with them. We're going to do an event here in the ballroom of the bookstore on Saturday night, which will be publishers, reps, and booksellers recommending books for people who are attending this event. And but as the capstone, the Sunday, we're going to record a live radio show up at Chautauqua. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we're not quite sure who we're going to have for that yet, but I think we have a lot to choose from, so we'll have a good author.
People can find all that information at the website for the Boulder Bookstore. But looking ahead for the year ahead, any big names got some good books coming out in 2026? What are you getting excited about in the coming months?
That is such an excellent question, Maeve, because I can barely see past 2 weeks from now. You know, I think, you know, one thing we're excited about, and there'll be more information on this, but I know that in October, for a conference in Arvada where we're selling the books, is the Arvada Lines and Letters Conference, I think. I can't remember the exact name of the conference. Is Kate DiCamillo is coming to Colorado. And so we'll be selling books at the conference she's at, but I'm also very hopeful that we're going to be able to get her into Boulder or, you know, for some events.
Lots to look forward to in the year ahead when it comes to books, the Radio Book Club, and authors coming and going here at the Boulder Bookstore. This has been so much fun. I get to talk to so many booksellers today. And of course, my co-host for the Radio Book Club, Arsene Kashkashian of the Boulder Bookstore. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maeve.